16, 1960. Jasper received a paycheck every Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock on the dot. By 3:30, he had already spent half of it. "Same as usual?" asked the cheerful blonde behind the counter at the City Hall office. She served as the bank teller, wire transfer operator, and postmistress all in one, which meant she held most of the town's secrets in the palm of her well-manicured hand. "40 in cash and 40 to Aberdeen?" "Yes, please," Jasper said, his attention only partially on the transaction. It was taking every ounce of his self-control not to pull the copy of The Haunting of Hill House out of his pocket and find where he and Catherine had left off. They were supposed to meet tomorrow night at their usual spot down by the river, but he was itching to hear her thoughts on the passage he had highlighted yesterday. The book was scary as hell, and he'd lost hours of sleep to tossing and turning as he tried to shut out the images it evoked. But that was nothing new for him. Jasper had been scared almost every day of his life, of how brightly the sun shone in this part of the state, of the people who smiled and waved and went about their business as though life held nothing but joy, of beautifully laughing girls who made him feel things he thought he had taught himself to suppress. "Earth to Jasper," the blonde said as she slid 4 crisp $10 bills across the counter. "What?" "Oh, sorry." He took the money and shoved it into his wallet. "I wasn't paying attention." "No kidding," she said, but with a smile he assumed was meant to reassure him. "I was just saying that your family must really appreciate everything you do for them. My only brother doesn't care what becomes of us. He left to work in the stockyards in Spokane a few years ago and never looked back. We don't even get a Christmas card." "Oh," Jasper said, feeling his cheeks grow warm. He couldn't remember the last time he had sent a Christmas card either. Was that a thing you were supposed to do, when you already send every available penny home? "That's unfortunate." The blonde, Samantha, he thought her name might be, lifted her brows in a perfect arch. She also slid the receipt for the wire transfer across the counter. "You must get lonely without your family to take care of you," she said with a pointed look down at the receipt. Jasper followed the line of her gaze to find that she'd scrawled a 6-digit number across the top. "If you ever want to talk about it, you can give me a call." "Oh, thanks." He fought the urge to crumple the receipt into a ball and throw it in the nearest garbage. He was no master of the social graces, but even he knew an insult like that would be hard for her to swallow. "I'll do that." "You won't, but I figure it can't hurt to try," she winked. "See you next week." Jasper mumbled something even he couldn't interpret and ducked his head as he left the city hall. Across the street, he could just make out the beige brickwork of the tiny library, but he didn't direct his steps toward it. There was no point. He already had the book in hand, and Catherine wasn't on shift right now anyway. Once upon a time, the library had been his happy place, his sanctuary. He had been able to duck in there any time of day, grab a book off the shelf, and walk away without anyone engaging him in discussion, conversation, or, worst of all, banter. Now, every time he entered those hallowed walls, he became acutely aware of his every breath. In and out. Lonnie would be watching him with a mischievous twinkle in her eye. Out and in. Mrs. Peters would step in the way whenever he tried to scrawl a note in the book's margin without getting caught. In and in and in. There she'd be, Catherine, his Catherine, her head bent over a book, the wisps of her hair trailing over flushed, softly rounded cheeks. She always knew when he came into the library, though she never gave any indication of her awareness other than a brief flutter of her eyelashes. Jasper knew because he felt it too. Any time they stood in a room together, the air shifted to make space for them. It had no other choice. The world wasn't designed to hold them in close proximity for long. Like a chemical reaction, they were unstable, combustible, and most dangerous of all, explosive.